Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studio. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome back to hour number three on Turbo Thursday. Listen, I know who my audience is, a bunch of Right Side ruffians. You guys are conservative and salt of the earth. And I know for a fact, too, that not only does every one of y'all eat, you eat well, you're also tired of paying the cost of bacon that we're seeing under the Biden economy. But here's the other thing. I've had more than one time, I have had listeners tell me they're row cropping or working their cattle farm while they're listening to the show. I know who my audience is. And this dipper that I'm doing right now, this one hits home. Farm to market, that's number two on the triple dipper today. We just spent the last half hour covering down on some of the issues that are being imposed upon the farming community, the agribusiness sector of our economy, which, by the way, is a multi-billion dollar economy just in Alabama alone. The poultry farmers in Alabama alone are a $1 billion industry. And when you see the regulatory burdens being put on them to make their lives more difficult, does it not only crush them? Yes, but it also crushes us because that means the cost of their goods goes up for us to buy. All right, let me stop talking for a minute and just bring in somebody who knows better than me. Mitt Walker is on the line right now. He is the Director of Governmental and Agricultural Programs for the Alabama Farmers Federation, ALFA, down in Montgomery. He's been working these issues for years. Mitt Walker, how are you doing?
I'm great, Senator. Thank you for having me on today.
Absolutely. Thank you for making time. Well, you probably heard me talking there just a moment, and I know you guys have been engaging with Senator Tuberville quite a bit, who is sitting on Senate Ag and doing a great job. But what are you seeing right now? How is what the current state of things that we're seeing from the Biden administration, how is it impacting farms in Alabama?
Well, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, when you think about farming, it is inherently risky and inherently difficult. You're dealing with everything from weather to supply chain disruptions. You know, global markets where, you know, we have a saying that farmers are price takers, not price makers. A lot of times what they're paid for their crops is determined by the Board of Trade in Chicago or somewhere else in the world. So, you know, when you couple what's already an inherently difficult business with just a litany of rules and regulations that are thought up by either environmental activists or lifelong bureaucrats that probably have never been out of D.C., it really, really makes things more difficult on the farm. And like you said, a lot of that actually translates to the consumer and what they're paying for the goods produced here in Alabama.
Well, I know we've all seen it. I mean, the Biden economy is not just about inflation. Inflation is just an indicator of the larger problems, a lot of which are brought upon by regulatory environments.
Sure.
And we hear all of the somewhat laughable stories like putting diapers on cows and all that kind of stuff. But sometimes we also see that it's the insidious little things they do, like changing the manner in which you're allowed to either fertilize or use herbicides on your farm or you know, impacting the way you can irrigate because they're going to take new interpretations of the waters of the U.S. So are some of the biggest regulatory burdens y'all are fighting against right now?
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, a multi-decade fight for us and others, not just in agriculture, but in business in general, is the Waters of the U.S. rule. It goes all the way back to the Clean Water Act in the 1970s and has been the subject of litigation time and time again. And if you look at the last three presidential administrations, Obama, era Waters of the U.S. rule was extremely punitive toward the ag community. One of the things that President Trump campaigned on was the fact that he would repeal that rule when he was elected, which he did. The Trump administration put forth a very straightforward rule that actually was more in line with congressional intent of where EPA and the Corps of Engineers should and shouldn't regulate things. Fast forward to the Biden administration, they repealed the Trump-era rule, and now we're stuck with another really bad rule. The Supreme Court did strike it down last year unanimously. They struck down what's called a significant nexus test, forced EPA to write a new rule last year. But unfortunately, even that new rule really didn't adhere with what the court asked them to do and still leaves a lot of ambiguity there. We see it as a land grab, Senator. It is has very little to do with the environment and a whole lot to do with controlling what you do on the landscape, whether you're a farmer, a homeowner, a home builder, go down the list. So, you know, that's just one example You referenced the diaper on cattle. I mean, it'd be funny if it wasn't true. I mean, you have people that are looking at these rules, thinking these things up. I never dreamed. I've been doing this almost 20 years at Alpha. Last year, we all had to go to battle with the Securities and Exchange Commission. Here at Alabama, that's the SEC, not football, but the federal agency that looks at investments and that kind of thing. They issued a rule that had to do with climate reporting that would have actually trickled all the way down to the farm level.
Wow.
With our individual farmers having to report their emissions.
Wow.
Terrible, terrible rule. I mean, so, you know, there's things that you kind of are used to fighting, whether it's the Corps or EPA type rules. But yeah, in that case, we were even dealing with the Securities and Exchange Commission, which I never dreamed would be the case.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it and think, is it even? And I know that there are folks out there. I mean, I've got some amazing folks just in what used to be my Senate district here in Northeast Alabama that are still family owned farms. And I can't imagine what it takes to run a decent family-owned farm. I mean, just to be able to get the capital you need to buy the things necessary to do whatever it is you do, whether it be row cropping or poultry or cattle or whatever, is even capital has been made more difficult with all the ESG rulings and everything else we've seen, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, accessing capital is more difficult. Unfortunately, the monetary policies of this administration has made borrowing money more expensive. When you're looking at operating loans and that type of thing, you know, one of the issues that we deal with here repeatedly, when you talk about the capital intensive nature of farming, the state tax, or what we call the death tax, is a critically important issue. In fact, Coach Tuberville and our president, Mr. Parnell, actually released a op-ed that they co-authored just this week, talking about the importance of the Trump era jobs cut. Tax Cut and Jobs Act, a lot of those provisions expire next year, and we're going to see the state tax exemption potentially double. So that's just one of the things that are affecting family farms. A lot of cases, our farmers have had to get bigger just because of the cost of doing business. And, you know, it doesn't take long. I know it sounds like a lot of money, but it doesn't take long to accumulate several million dollars worth of capital on a farm when you look at the value of land. You know, a new cotton picker today costs in excess of $1 million.
Wow.
A spray rig could cost you as much as $500,000. So just those basic tools to farm the land and the land itself can oftentimes be worth several million dollars. That's all money that's tied to the operation. If a family member passes away unexpectedly, the remaining family members bear the brunt of this awful death tax, and in some cases, they have no choice but to sell a piece of property in order to pay those taxes, which makes them less viable as a family operation going down the road.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, listen, we could probably find 100 different angles to talk about. Waters of the U.S. has been a pet peeve of mine for years, but I gotta ask you too. One of the things that we've seen in recent years is deep concern about foreign intervention. And, you know, the classic case right now is Chinese-owned entities buying up American farmland. And we've even seen Senator Britt and Senator Tuberville both taking a stand on that issue.
Sure. Yeah. Senator Tuberville has really gone to bat on that issue. Some of his provisions actually are included in what the Republican Farm Bill would look like moving forward. Senator Britt's also been engaged. Yeah, at the end of the day, I mean, food security is national security, right? And we have to make sure that we're doing everything we can as a country to be able to produce the food, fiber, fuel that we need to sustain ourselves, and then hopefully have enough, you know, left over for exports, and that does add value to our commodities. That's one thing, you know, rather than this current administration focusing so heavily on issuing rules and regulations, really two things, in my opinion, would help more than anything. One is to get our energy policies right in this country.
Yeah.
Everything ties back to energy policies, and then our trade deficit is out of hand. Historically, the agricultural portion of the trade balance has always been to the positive. Four out of the last 6 years, the last 2 years in particular, we've seen our trade imbalance in just agricultural trade skyrocket. It's projected to be $32 billion this
year.
love him or hate him, you know, trade was at the forefront of the Trump administration. It was in the news every day. When's the last time you've heard this current administration talk about opening up new opportunities for American goods to be traded around the world? It's just not happening.
Right. And I saw the most recent report saying that we're at a $27.5 billion trade deficit right now. We should be a net exporter. We should be in a trade positive.
Absolutely.
There's no reason why we shouldn't.
Absolutely.
Well, so let me ask you this. The current farm bill, the one that I think it came out of the House with some bipartisan support, it is now being talked about by Senate Republicans, but we still don't have the majority. We're just off by just enough to be able to say we can do what we want to do. And so the reality is that farm bill is sitting and waiting. It has not passed or been machined or massaged yet, has it?
It has not. The House Ag Committee did move their bill out of committee, and you're right, with a little bipartisan support. I think there were four Democrats that voted to advance that bill out of committee. Chairman Thompson from Pennsylvania has become a good friend of ours. He's been to Alabama multiple times. He has drafted a really strong bill for the agricultural community. It helps to address some of those inflationary pressures that you talked about. It is a good bill for production ag. Unfortunately, with it being an election year, there are very few days that the House will actually be in session between now and the end of this Congress. With the slim majorities you talked about, it is going to be a heavy, heavy lift to get a bill out of the House. And unfortunately, the Senate is probably even further behind now. I will give credit to both Coach Tuberville and Congressman Moore from down in the Wiregrass. Both of them got quite a few of their priorities included in the draft text or the frameworks of the two bills. So, you know, shout out to them for going to bat for Alabama farmers and doing a really good job. The Senate bill is off to a slower start. There's two frameworks that have been released, one by the majority and one by the minority. So actually, we're looking at kind of three different visions right now for what a final farm bill would look like. So far, you know, what's out there has been well received that the Republicans have put out. It would be good for the ag community, but a long, long way to go to get that passed.
Well, Mitt, I really appreciate your time today, and we're pretty much out of time right now. But I got to tell you this before you go, though. One of my favorite quotes came from Jimmy Parnell, the president of Alpha. I was a judge on an FFA competition, and he was there, and he was speaking, and he said, you know, he heard one time that if the rest of the world figured out about bush hogging, we wouldn't need psychiatrists. And I have used that phrase multiple times. But
have you got time for one other quote real quick?
I got about 30 seconds.
When you talk about this climate change stuff, during the BRIC campaign, one of our farmers that was in one of our commercials had the reference to tractors and the fact tractors don't run on windmills. So we got to keep that in mind, too, when we're talking about all these climate policies. So thank you for your time, Senator. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Absolutely. Mitt Walker, Director of Governmental and Agricultural Programs at Alpha. We appreciate your time. Thanks, buddy.
Take care.
All right. We'll take a break. I ran long, but we'll come right back and wrap that up. And listen, y'all. God made farmers for a reason. We should not make their job just harder. They're producing for us. That's the bottom line. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.